This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
John Ward,
Jane Bolton,
Alison Milden,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, John, you told us you were awarded a QSM, a Queen's Service Medal.
New Year of 2005.
2005, yeah. And what's the story behind that? How did that arise?
It was a build-up of many notifications over the years.
Yeah.
Particularly after I started broadcasting.
Okay, because you've had your own personal radio station that you've
Since I started in right on Christmas of 1998.
Okay, so you just set up a radio station in your home, broadcasting to
classical music to Palmerston North.
Classical music, yep.
Enfield.
Okay, Enfield. So how do you manage the two of those? You've got a broadcast point in each of the places.
Yes, I have to do the fielding. If I had four transmitters involved, with a transmitter for here, transmitter for sending to the city council building. And a transmitter on top of that.
Okay.
To fielding.
Oh, okay.
And another transmitter and fielding to fielding itself.
Oh, so could you pick it up between here and fielding as well, or just in the two centres?
I have the same frequency used in Palmerston here.
Yeah.
And as I'm running two programs now, there's different music.
Oh,
so
okay.
So when you get to the in-between point, fielding and Palmerston, we're running at a very low power.
Ah, okay.
So it reaches about halfway, and then it bumps into the other one, conversely.
Yeah, okay. So, and you've been doing that for, 22,
this is the 22nd year.
22nd year. Mm. Okay, but you also said that was recognised beforehand? You mentioned something about an article in North and South magazine.
Yes, North and South was in 1999. It was not long after I started.
Yeah,
there was a North and South article for people of note in the particular cities throughout the country, and I was included in the Palmerston North lot, along with about two other people.
Okay, so what made you set up a radio station in the first place?
I was invited to do it.
By whom?
Who was it? The people who transmit
Local ham radio. Oh, okay. And they said do a radio station.
He wanted to. He had never had any experience in classical music with his transmitters, and he asked if I said I couldn't do that, and he says, "Well, of course you can."
You recall the name?
It was Mark Kennard.
Mark Kennard.
Mm,
So he set up the system for you, did he?
Totally.
Okay.
I only muck around with audio.
Yeah.
Just not the
because you did a lot of recording of concerts and all sorts of things.
A tremendous amount.
So you had a big collection of music from your own recordings others, and you broadcast all of those, or just
everything?
Okay. And did you start off at a certain program length, or...?
I put it on for I used the mechanics of I used CDs, kept it to CDs, and what I could put on CD from computer. I used a mechanic turntable of a jukebox.
Okay,
It had 100 records on the carousel. Call them CDs on the carousel. Push the button once and it went right through the and forever.
So it was just cycling through these 100 CDs So you're playing 24 hours a day, you were broadcasting?
Yeah, yeah. Didn't have to attend.
Was it expensive for you, or no. Just the cost of the electricity?
No. Yes, yeah, it was only minimal, because these units are running just fractions of an amp.
Okay, and did you need a licence for that?
No, it was free to air, being the allotted guards band frequencies.
Guards band frequencies
at either end of the broadcast.
Oh, so there's a certain range that's available for the public. Even now, there's a range there.
It'll always be there.
So anyone can just say, "Oh, I'll broadcast." Do you have to register where you're broadcasting, or something? You get permission to use a certain.
They frequency. Ask you to ID yourself, but then there's no fee attached. But there are strict laws as to the power you use.
Okay.
And it's really allocated to the navigation.
You're not interfering with aircraft and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's either end of the band, FM band.
Okay.
The frequencies are quite. I mean, we can get something like 8 channels at each end of the band.
Okay. Yeah. And so people can get good reception on that?
The fewer on it, the best the reception.
When you say the fewer on it, you mean
the fewer
programs broadcasting around that?
Yeah. Yes, we're allotted a bandwidth of 100 Ks each. Width, you see, so they call them points.
Yeah.
So you can have the 106.0. I'm on 106.7, but the next one can be 106.8.
Okay.
And it's really too close, because our broadcast is 100 wide, at least.
Yeah.
In fact, mono is 100 and something Ks wide, and that really exceeds the 100 K bandwidth. So we have a...
So you broadcast mono or
stereo? No, now stereo is 200 and something K wide. So we have to allow 300 points, or 3 points.
So you're actually, if there's other people close to you, you're overlapping there.
Mm. Yeah. So we keep a strategic distance from each other.
Oh, geographic distance.
Mm.
Okay.
So that the motor cars can pick up. It's a bit of a scramble for motor cars to pick it up. If you're in going through the town, you get a distortion going on from one to another.
Okay.
So we formed a club, indeed.
Yeah.
And this is where...
Different broadcasters.
Yeah, Daphne had come on board
later on
in the scene.
Daphne?
Mm-hmm. Our Daphne Kine. She was an absolute... She bumped into it.
Okay, could you say Daphne who?
Daphne Kine.
Daphne Kine.
Hmm.
What, and who is she? She's a...
She was in with Brian... up the hill, Collis, and Mr. Bewley, Professor Bewley.
Ah, yes.
And she was around at Bewley's place one time and said, "This classical music has been broadcasting for 2 or 3 years. She's noticed in her car she can't get it in the house."
And
has anybody any idea who's doing it? And Tom Bewley said, "Oh, it's just little Johnny Boy, just round the next street."
So when you say she was in it, she was just receiving.
She couldn't actually do anything. She wanted to know who it was.
Oh, okay.
Because it was classical music.
Because do you put any branding on the broadcast so people know that it's your station? Does it have a name?
I didn't then. I wasn't on the microphone then.
Okay.
But
it was just music to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the microphone, what do you do?
Well, I have to announce my position in the band, identify myself.
Oh, okay.
And the music, I don't bother with the music so much.
So how often does the identification...
It's meant to be within the hour.
Oh, so at least each hour you've got to say who you are.
You know, I have a message on the... My recording's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And it says the gramophone room. Broadcast or something.
So it's your brand name is you're called Gramophone Room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so you've got a whole studio set up here for all
it's
that.
Upstairs.
Upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
With all the records in it.
Right. Okay. So let's see. So you were mentioned in North and South, which I think, did you say it was a surprise to you? You knew nothing about it until you were told.
I had no idea about it. I didn't even buy it. I didn't even know what North and South was.
Now, in the magazine article, was the information accurate then, or didn't it say much?
It just said something about heroes.
Yeah.
Of the city.
Okay.
You see, and putting out music continuously.
Yeah.
And this article turned up with it.
Yeah.
But there were people that knew that I was doing it because I was Malcolm Hopwood, or the city people were very much involved. Mm. And Malcolm Hopwood was
they were very much involved.
The city, because I'd asked them if I could put a transmission on the city council building. Yep. And Malcolm Hopwood said, "Oh, you can't use the building. We're selling it to going to be a it was going to be a
hotel."
Yeah, and he says, "Oh, we can't sell it. You can't do that." He said, "Well, why don't you go and see the librarian, city librarian? Forgotten his name. 3 years, and so I went across there and he." He jumped at it.
Yeah?
And he ended up putting
it from the library, going from
the library. Well, it was at the very, very beginning, yeah.
Okay.
But I found it was buried in buildings and wasn't getting out too well. Mm-hmm. And I tried it with a 70-watt transmission.
Yeah.
Up from that library, a little short aerial just flipping around on the top of the roof.
When you're holding it, you indicate about 30 centimetres long or something.
Yeah, something like that.
That's all it was?
Yeah. And it was a quarter wave thing. And it was whipping around the wind was catching it. In my business, I travelled all over the south of the North Island and went up to Taipi. Mm. And coming out of Taipi, I just tuned in. You could see Palmerston. I thought, I wonder if I could hear my radio station. Mm. It was only running at 300 milliwatts. That's a third of a watt, approximately.
Yeah.
And, it was loud and clear. Coming down, when you come down onto the top of the first dip, there's a very steep hill coming from Wairu and from there on. There's that steep hill dip, and you can actually see windows of Palmerston and windows of sound. It was coming through.
Okay.
My radio station was coming through. It was then 88.1. And it was beaming and beautifully.
Yeah. Now, you were saying, though, you were limited in what you could do because it shouldn't interfere with aircraft, but if it could go as far as Taihape, it wouldn't go high.
No, the power, that was running at 70 watts, and that was totally illegal.
Oh, okay. But we won't tell anyone
about it. No, they know about it now. It's a growing up phase.
Ah,
I wasn't blind or anything, I just...
Okay.
Just
so was it expensive to set up?
No. Physically, Mark made all the equipment. Mm-hmm. Like I made all my gramophone.
Yeah.
Originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all up there.
Yeah.
Still works.
You built your own gramophone? Okay.
Couldn't buy anything.
Yeah, because you had training, that sort of thing, didn't you?
No, I trained myself.
You trained? Okay.
Mm. I had to. You couldn't go into a shop and buy anything like that.
Yeah. So where did you get the parts?
War surplus, mainly.
Oh, okay.
1946, they had tons of war surplus stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
And one or two very cheap selling characters for the likes of me.
So it was all valves rather than transistors?
It was all valves. There was no such thing as a transistor in those days.
Okay.
And all I had to do was, I was fitted up with my father with a soldering iron and pliers and cutters and...
So you started really early with this, and then so you were obviously in a strong position with all the music by the time you set up the radio station.
Very much so.
So what?
It was my life.
Yeah.
And the gramophone.
What, as a hobby, you mean? You were
as a hobby,
building up your gramophone and your music collection and so on.
Yes. Okay. Yes. My father made me go into a shop, in Broadway. And he gave me this wind-up gramophone for my... it was just right on the end of the war. It was around 44, 45. Yep. He gave me this Wanda gramophone. And about a few months after that, he said, son, he says, you're buying these records. He says, now there's a shop down the hooks in the window set up. It was called the Record Guide.
Oh, okay.
With the written by Edward Sackville West and Jason Shaw Taylor. Who am I? You nothing. They were just journalists. Those books, well, I put them right ahead now of, and over my Sweet William and William the Conqueror and all those William books, which I loved.
Yeah.
Because I played in the creek just like when I was imagining him. I was
William.
That,
well, the Just William, or yeah, the Just William books,
Yeah.
Okay. So you got the Record Guide as well?
I got the Record Guide, you see, and wow, that was captivating. It was humiliating for a conductor to be criticised in such a way by these English.
These were critical commentary on the different
performances. And judging the performances for you to attain the best performance.
Oh, okay.
You see?
Yeah.
And they slander anything Yank.
Yeah, or a load of personal preference in
all that. Oh, yeah. If the Yanks couldn't bow a double bass, if they couldn't, bow it, they would pluck it, then they would play it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because their basses sound like cellos when they bow it with the overhand.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopeless.
Okay.
So that was one of the criticisms I picked up. Edward Sackville West.
That's a famous name, Sackville West.
If you criticise it in the way of Toscanini with the New York Philharmonic, when Toscanini had indeed, just prior to that, been in Britain in the 30s, late 30s, around the time that I was being instigated with the BBC Philharmonic, and he left a legacy of HMV recordings in Britain for the world, with very warm sound and just the way orchestras should be, you know, and recorded.
But was that the way that the music was composed in the first place?
No, this is
interpretation.
Totally different to the way the composer.
Unfortunately, we'll get into another subject there. New York, in America, missed out on the, as everybody did, out of the European countries. We had what they call the European blockade. It was set up by, caused by the ramification of the defeat of Napoleon, and all that Napoleon ever did to the world, destroy it. Europe had to rebuild itself. So anything French.
Oh, so you're going back to the early
1800s. Yeah, that's when it started.
Yeah.
We've had now 200 years of blockade of Europe. And finally, when the Berlin Wall fell away, it stopped flooding from Bohemia. That's where music started. But Britain had already got the tastes of Beethoven and Mozart and whatever.
Yeah.
And Toscanini came to Britain and conducted the London Philharmonic and those orchestras to the BBC Philharmonic sort of thing.
Okay. So what you're really showing is that you've had a long-standing interest from childhood and you're now in your, mid to late 80s?
Mid-80s.
So for a very long time you've had an interest in this, and then you used the radio station as a chance to actually share this with
my gramophone records.
Yeah. So it's the music you're sharing, and your understanding and interpretation? Are you sharing that through the radio station?
I've only bought records that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm sharing them all.
Yeah,
I've got 38 variations on the Eroica Symphony, for instance, of Beethoven.
Okay. Yeah.
I've only put a little handful on with this one's.
And actually, as an aside, you share a lot of this through your University of the Third Age groups as well.
Nowadays, I didn't join the three. Marjorie joined first.
Marjorie was
my wife.
She
started with. We were all friends with him up there.
Brian Collis.
Brian Collis. And Brian Eyeball here. The huge meetings.
Yes.
And Marjorie did actually go along to one or two of those. Mm-hmm. She joined first.
And
of course she definitely had joined too. And I got this letter from, this was on a Thursday, she with Don Bewley, hiking back to the first Youth Area thing, and because
Youth Area has been going for 20 years now, so
it has,
going back
we received a letter from Daphne and on the Saturday morning. She'd written it on that Friday and posted it, and this letter came and opened it up, and it had D. Kine, nicely written. And I thought, and the way it read.
So, when was this? When are you talking about?
2000, the end of 2003.
Okay, yep.
Mm. And this. Jolly note sounded a wee bit effeminate, and I thought it was a bloke. I thought it was Mr. Kine. I didn't have any idea there was a lady.
Yeah,
but it did sound effeminate. So Marjorie, look, I can't read this. Would you read it, please? And she read it. She, oh, it's nothing. It was the same. Something very nice. I said, oh, why don't you ring this Mr. Kine up? So I went downstairs and looked at the phone book, and I found a D. Kine in the phone book, just as it was signed.
So you didn't know her at that time?
No, I had no idea who she was.
Okay.
Or who it was. And I said, I picked up the phone, and anyway, it answered the other end. It was a lady, and I said, oh, is Mr. Kine in, please? There is no Mr. Kine! Very tersely. But she saved the situation. Are you the man from the radio? You've received my letter. I said, yes. Oh, she said, why don't you ever play opera?
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, do you have any opera? I said, yeah, I have plenty of opera, but I didn't really think that the general public would like to share an opera. And, I just play that to myself. Yeah. Oh, she said, I didn't think anybody would be listening to the opera. She said, well, I would if you could play it.
Yeah.
And, okay. Well, I do play opera, but on nights, every second night sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. On a Tuesday night and a Thursday night and Saturday night sort of thing. And I do opera in English on Friday night.
Okay.
Like the Gilbert and Sullivan. Yeah. That's how I put it to her. But I couldn't do this during the day. And I told her the reason why is it was coming from the city council buildings, and that's all over the square. So I thought it would be unfair to.
The music we hear in the square is your radio station?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
know
that.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I knew there was music.
Oh, that was another.
That's coming out from around the clock tower.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes. And also underneath the eaves of the building itself. And at night, it's all around the building. You know why it's put there? To keep the blue snippers out. And then they went around and took all the trees, raised all the trees.
Now there's something else they've found as well around shops. There's something like, as people get older, certain frequencies they can't hear so much, but for young people they can be very irritating. So if they play that sort of okay, so your music it's like these things, how to keep pests out of your house. Play this sort of noise and it'll drive them away. So it's not for our entertainment.
In England they started playing classical music on train stations.
Yes.
And fielding. Yes, to basically get better behaviour.
Yeah, that came from the city council. Okay. No idea. Yeah. Yeah. Right, okay. They're having a laugh at me,
so,
really.
So you got this, and then you broadened out your music. Mm-hmm. But we've been going for nearly 25 minutes, and we started off saying, well, you got the QSM, so we haven't actually talked about that at all. So,
well, you can see how the QSM was generated.
Yeah, so you were doing all this.
Yes, yes.
And then, so what happened? So,
I got a letter from the mayor and mayor's office. This was 2004. And I was sort of, I didn't know, would I go along I was to receive an award, you see, and so
I know for sort of Queen's Honours and so on, mm. they ask people, if you were offered this, would you accept, because some people decline it. You weren't given any warning at all? Just
until I got that letter a week before.
Ah.
Now, but this was before the QSM.
Yes.
This was another letter from the mayor.
Okay.
Now, I had the experience of walking down the steps of with Marjorie out of the library, mm-hmm. down the back in George Street steps, mm-hmm. and Alison Wall came trotting out of some hall or room or something, and she came down, "Oh, Marjorie! And so she turned around, and I kept on going down the steps.
Alison Wall.
Mm-hmm. She was a
city
councillor.
Yeah,
and she'd just come out of a meeting,
mm-hmm.
of some sort, and she they were discussing awards.
Okay,
you see, and she said something to Marjorie about very very excited about. There was an award that, look, we've seen the lights off before. There was a tremendous award coming up. And she didn't say who it was. This is to Marjorie. And I was down on George Street by the stage. Anyway, it turned out to be that was the civic award that was the top civic award that they put to me.
Very
that
good.
Was, yeah.
So that was in 2004. Yeah.
When the Civic Awards, it was about a week before the happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got sort of a week's notice or...
I got a letter from the mayor, and that's the week's notice I got.
Okay.
And...
Okay. And then the QSM came sometime a bit later?
Two or three months later.
Oh, that soon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that again was a thing from Government House.
Mm. Yeah.
And
so who had nominated you for that? You know,
I don't.
Okay.
But the citations mentioned people on the, and there's Gary Brain and there's Annalise.
Oh, okay. So there's several local people.
I taught all those people music, you see.
Yes, yeah. What happened? You got a notification?
Yes. And I suggested that Marjorie and I were both. Of course, she then immediately dug out a frock to she was going to go with them all. It's all in the hall.
Yeah.
More trunks.
Okay.
And
so how was it presented to you?
I had to go to Wellington to the Government House, and
was there a dress code for that?
Yes, I do. Yes, they outlined everything in the letter, what I was to wear.
Okay,
sort of thing.
What, just a suit and tie, or
suit
anything
tie.
More?
No, nothing.
Just suit,
just suit and tie.
Okay,
shoes, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a rare moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
How did that feel? When you found you were being offered that?
Oh, it was just exhilarating, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Mm. Yeah.
Just.
And what did they say it was for?
Well,
because
I've got
I
have the citations out there.
Yeah.
And I've got them all labelled up and there to read.
Oh, all the different people they wrote in why you should have it, and you.
Mm.
So you're given copies of all that?
No. No, I was only given a citation mentioning one or two people put.
Ah, okay.
Like Gary the Brain
Annalise. Annalise,
there were two off the cuff. Mm.
Hmm.
And the rest.
And this was because of your years of involvement in music and recording and broadcasting and everything else?
3 years of broadcasting.
3 years of the radio broadcasting, yeah.
And of course, everything else before that.
Yes,
precisely. The brass band. I've been in a brass band since 1950.
Yes. Yeah, and we've got some of that recorded.
And that, but our band was a, it was tied up to the army. It was commissioned by the army. We had a crown on our cap.
Yeah, okay.
From the Queen Alexandra's Own unit.
Yeah.
Which had their centenary of 150th, 2014 here.
Yeah.
And our band started in 1868, which meant that we had our 150th then.
Wow. Well, that's, yeah, a lot of history and a lot of a lot of effort on your part and a lot of recognition.
Well, I reckon Jack and I, we were together in the band. Yeah. And between the two of us, we put an age on that we was
Jack Register, you're talking about, yeah.
we could have an age that was as long as the band is old.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.